Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά. Βρείτε περισσότερες ενδιαφέρουσες ιστορίες στο sbs.com.au/greek.
SBS acknowledges Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional owners of this country and their enduring and continued connection to land, sea, sky and community. Hello everyone, my name is Pano Apostolou and you're listening to SBS Greek podcast. In a unique and inspiring tale of cultural exchange, 12-year-old Greek-Australian twins Nicholas and Zacharias Kanatas from Melbourne participated in a program that allowed them to form meaningful connections with the Bardi Jawi people of One Arm Point, an Aboriginal community on the West Australian coast. The story, shared in an interview with SBS Greek, highlights how cultural understanding and shared experiences can bridge diverse communities, can inspire others to embrace Australia's rich diversity, and can work towards a more inclusive future. Kanata's family includes parents Theo and Danielle, twin boys Nicholas and Zacharias, and daughter Emilia. The family paid a visit to SBS Melbourne Studios on Federation Square, where we did the following recording, both in English and in Greek language.
Hello, I'm Zach Kanatas, and I'm 12 years old. I'm from Melbourne, and I go to Trinity Grammar School in Kew. I was born in Melbourne, and my background is Greek-Australian.
Do you know where your father or your mother coming from in Greece? Or your grandparents?
So my grandparents come from Tripoli and Nafplion. My mum's side comes from Kos.
Hi, I'm Nick Kanatas, and the same as my brother. I was born in Melbourne. We're both 12. We're twins. We go to the same school, Trinity Grammar School. Mm-hmm. I'm in year 6.
Are you going to Greek school?
We used to, but we're doing it at home.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Why do you enjoy Greek language?
Because it's, like, fun to learn about, and so you can actually speak Greek, like, in Greece.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in Greece and used the language there, the Greek language?
Yeah.
Yeah? Was it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun to, like, speak to the locals and order food.
Why do Greek-Australian boys develop this interest about the indigenous community? I know it's from your school. Why did you want to participate?
I wanted to participate because I knew it was a great opportunity to go there, and the population of the community was only 30 people, so knowing that I could just go there and see what life is like there, because it's like in another world, and like it's like 3,000 kilometres away from
Melbourne.
Here, yeah. It was really fun experience. And
mm-hmm. What did you know about indigenous culture before you travel there?
So there was a lot to learn there.
You did the research at home?
Yeah, I did research, and we learned lots of cool facts, like indigenous people, like the girls, they can't go hunting or fishing, and the boys, they do a lot of things that girls can't.
How about you? What intrigued you to do this? Why you wanted to do the applications to travel?
Probably because it was a great experience, and I've always wondered, like, what do they actually do and how do you live in a community that small?
Have you ever before that met an indigenous person here in Melbourne?
I've seen, like, a lot around, but not, like, full indigenous how they were.
Are there indigenous kids at school?
There are, not in my class, but in older year levels there are.
Tell us about your trip there. Zach, were you stressed before the trip? How did you feel when you arrived there?
That was definitely one of the massive things that changed the experience. It was hotter than 30 every day, and it was really hard to handle because we don't get many days like this here. and the experience just was like very different, and it felt very different experience.
When you arrived there, the locals, the indigenous people, what did they do? Did they do a celebration, a welcome to country?
So we arrived in Broome, and then we had to take a 3-hour drive to
the remote community.
The Eidolon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
what's the name of the place?
One Arm Point. Mm-hmm. There was not many people there. The teachers welcomed us, having only a small group of community, and it was only just a Sunday. A lot of the kids were home.
Nick, did you expect exactly what you saw when you arrived there, like hot weather, deserts, I don't know, dust in the air?
It wasn't really like really deserty, but it was on the drive there. There was this one straight road. I think from the airport to the place, we went on like maybe 5 different roads.
What was the most striking thing when you arrived at the place?
So the house is like, everyone's a bit like sort of not really going to be like, not really saying hi. Like, mm-hmm. We never really saw any of the parents, just the kids. And the kids, there actually isn't many people in each class. So they go like 1 and 2, like year one, grade 1 and 2, and then they go grade 3 and 4, and then 5 and 6, and then they go straight to high school. I think there's 7 and 8, and then there's no other people. Like, I think they drop out to go to work and make money.
When you did the application, you mentioned that you want to immerse to the indigenous traditions like spear making and mud crab hunting. Have you done that there?
Yeah, we did that.
And what did you learn from these activities?
It's not like they go buy a spear from, I don't know, like, it's not like they go buy a spear. You have to make it, like, yourself.
Okay.
And that was really fun. And then also, like, hunting their own food most of the time.
Did you bring these stories to your school? Have you shared that with your teachers and your mates?
Yeah, so
what was the reaction?
We did it at assembly, so we said a lot of stuff at assembly about, like, the overview of it, and that probably the younger kids, they said, oh, I want to go on that, like, in years to come.
Zach, on your application, you said that you wanted to understand how children at One Arm Point spend their days, what they're doing. Do you know now? Can you tell us a few things, how they spend their days?
They don't really have access to what we do in Melbourne. Most of the time, they're in shade. Sometimes they just drive to Broome and maybe just spend the 3 nights there without letting their parents know. Maybe go with, like, a cousin. Or if they are down in the community, most of the boys, they do hunt for food. They do enjoy sports, basketball and AFL. I actually tried turtle and dugong. Turtle kind of tasted a bit like chicken, in a way. And the dugong, which is like a, it's like a big, I guess, sea cow, mm-hmm. I think, yeah. And it kind of tasted like just normal red meat, but so really chewy. The closest, like, Woolworths, we stopped by and we got all of our, the stuff we needed for the mm-hmm. for the week. So we got orange juice, like, all the food we would have, pasta, everything.
Did you cook for them?
Yeah, we cooked.
Really?
Well, what? Yeah, so the teachers cooked for them and us.
Pasta?
Yeah.
Moussaka?
No.
Your household had some indigenous kids? How many?
So we each had a buddy each. They stayed at a local hotel and they came to our house 3 of the days they stayed here.
How did they find Melbourne? What feelings did they share with you?
They really liked it because it was so much different from their community at home. They were all freezing cold as they got here, though. How big the roads were and, like, everything so, like, more civilised from what they've experienced.
What was their names?
It's not, like, an everyday name, like a Jack or... It's not an everyday name, so I wasn't actually sure because they do speak, like, a little bit differently, so they're, like... It's hard to understand them most of the time.
Do they speak their own language, like the indigenous dialect?
Not, like, fluent, mm-hmm. but they, like, know, like, words, like, the elders would teach them.
Do you have grandparents? Are they still in life, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Did you share these stories with your yaya and papu?
Yeah, so...
Tell me.
First. On my mum's side is, like, their...
What's their names from your mum's side?
Yaya Lisa and Papu David.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a bit younger than, on my like, my dad's parents, so they're probably a bit more understanding and, like, they speak, like, better English.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how did they react when you tell them about this experience you had?
They wanted to hear all about it, and yeah, it was...
Were they impressed?
Yeah.
They met our cousins.
They met your cousins?
Yeah, so we actually went to an AFL match. They really liked it because most of them, like, idolise Dustin Martin.
From Richmond?
Yeah, and we watched Richmond...
All this experience, how do you think it will help you as a person or as a student at the school? Have you become a better person? Have you started to think other things now, you know, apart from your Greek family or the Greek community, that there is indigenous communities also? Tell us.
So it definitely changed, like, the way I've been thinking. They don't have access to shops. They have about one shop, and otherwise they make all the stuff they have on their own, and they're really connected to the land, and they're completely eco-friendly, and they don't do stuff that we do. They have many changes. Like,
how are you going to use all this experience for yourself, for your school?
I learned that they're not like us. They're a bit, like, rough. They're a bit shy in a way to us, but not really shy to, like, the community, and, like, would really do anything, like, go and, like, run around.
Did you learn any Aboriginal word?
A bit, but, like, not many.
It might be a little bit hard knowing that there's, like, many language groups, and I know that there's a language group that they're only spoken by hundreds of people, mm-hmm. and there wouldn't be many people to learn it from.
We heard Nicholas and Zacharias Kanatas to talk about their experience from their cultural exchange program, which helped them to immerse themselves in the traditions of the Bardi Jawi people in the West Australian coast. Now we are going to listen what their parents told our program about their kids' experience. Firstly, we talk to their father, Theo Kanatas. Our chat was in Greek language. Γιατί αποφασίζεις εσύ, ένας πατέρας Έλληνας της Μελβούνης, να συμπαρασταθείς, να στηρίξεις τα παιδιά σου όταν αυτά σου είπαν ότι «Μπαμπά, μαμά, θέλουμε να πάρουμε μέρος σε ένα πρόγραμμα στο σχολείο μας για να πάμε να δούμε Aboriginals».
Κοίτα, να στείλεις τα παιδιά σου 3.000 χιλιόμετρα μακριά, 11-12 χρόνια, είναι λίγο δύσκολο. Αλλά οι ευκαιρίες που δίνουν τα σχολεία και να μάθουν για τα indigenous communities και τι γίνεται εκεί πέρα, θα ανοίξουν τα μάτια τους λίγο, να καταλάβουν ότι η ζωή δεν είναι τόσο εύκολη για όλο τον κόσμο, mm-hmm. και δεν υπάρχουν έτσι ο fingertips, να σου το πω, να πας σε ένα μαγαζί να βρεις αθλητικά ή να πάρεις, όπως τα έχουμε εμείς, τα σημερινή ζωή είναι πολύ εύκολη για τα παιδιά. Αυτά τα παιδάκια που γνωρίσαμε έχουν ζήσει τη ζωή τους από ευκαιρίες που έχουν δημιουργήσει μόνο τους. Πάνε να φτιάξουν τώρα ένα σπία για να πάνε να φάνε τα παιδάκια, ή δημιουργήσανε μια μπάλα από δερμάτινο, από ζώα, για να παίξουν ξυπόλυτα. Mm-hmm. Κάτι παιδιά δεν έχουν μπει ούτε σε αεροπλάνο που ήθελα εδώ πέρα. Και ήθελα να δω τα δικά μου τα παιδάκια, ότι υπάρχουν άλλες κοινωνίες, κοινότητες που υπάρχουν με δυσκολίες, αλλά τα βρίσκουν και δημιουργούν τη ζωή τους και είναι ευχάριστα αυτά τα παιδιά. Mm-hmm. Χωρίς να έχουν τα πράγματα εδώ πέρα που δεν τα χρειαζόμαστε εμείς όλες τις φορές. Εμείς, για παράδειγμα, έχουμε 20 μπάλες στο σπίτι μας. Δεν τις χρειαζόμαστε όλες.
Πιστεύεις ότι τα παιδιά σου τώρα... Καλά, έχει περάσει λίγος καιρός από τότε που γύρισαν. Είναι λίγο διαφορετικά. Σκέφτονται δύο φορές πριν αγοράσουν κάτι.
Κάτι φορές που είμαι περήφανος για αυτό το πράγμα, ότι παπά δεν το χρειάζομαι αυτό το πράγμα. Περπατούσαμε εδώ πέρα, περάσαμε ένα μαγαζί, του λέω μήπως θες να κοιτάξει κάτι αθλητικά. Λέει δεν τα χρειάζομαι, παπά, γιατί σε λίγο θα μεγαλώσω και θα είναι άχρηστα να τα πετάξουμε άδικα. Που πολλές φορές δεν το σκέφτονται αυτά τα παιδιά και παίρνουμε πράγματα άδικα που δεν τα χρειαζόμαστε πολλές φορές και δημιουργούμε άλλα προβλήματα στη ζωή μας. Βρήκανε ότι πήγανε στο one-on-point που αυτά τα πράγματα δεν τα έχουν ούτε τα χρειάζονται. Δημιουργήσανε νομίζω μια γνώση μέσα τους ότι δεν χρειάζεται να αγοράζουμε πράγματα άδικα.
Φαντάζομαι μεγαλώνοντας στη Μελβούρνη δεν θα άκουγες και πολλά για τους ηθαγενείς, έτσι.
Και όχι μόνο δεν άκουγα, αλλά μέναμε σε μια περιοχή στο Q για παράδειγμα που δεν υπήρχαν και πολλοί indigenous παιδιά στο σχολείο μας. Υπήρχε νομίζω ένα-δύο παιδιά που έχω ζήσει και οι γονείς μου ποτέ δεν μιλάγανε για τους ηθαγενείς. Μιλάγανε για την ιστορία της Ελλάδας, για πώς μεγαλώσανε αυτοί, τα ethics και την ιστορία της Ελλάδας. Αλλά επειδή είμαστε και εμείς Αυστραλοί και Έλληνο-Αυστραλοί, στα σχολεία μάθαμε και για τους Aboriginals. Τώρα πιο πολλά μαθαίνουν αντί τι μαθαίνουν παλιά.
Και μαζί με τα παιδιά μαθαίνετε και εσείς στο σπίτι τώρα,
ναι,
έτσι.
Μπράβο, ναι, ναι. Νομίζω ήταν λίγο, πώς να σου πω, θαμμένο αυτό το θέμα. Όχι μόνο με τους Έλληνες, αλλά και με τους, και με τους Αυστραλούς παλιά. Τώρα έχουν, νομίζω τα έχουν φέρει στη ζωή. Και
χρειάζεται να μιλάμε για τους ηθαγενείς,
ναι,
πιστεύεις.
Ναι, βεβαίως,
και στην
ναι.
κοινότητά μας.
Βεβαίως, ναι. Και να μαθαίνουμε τις κουλτούρες τους, μαθαίνουμε για τη ζωή τους. Τα παιδιά ήρθαν εδώ πέρα, τα ηθαγενείς που ήρθαν, τα πήγαμε σε ένα Chinese restaurant και κοιτάξαν τα δύο sticks, chopsticks. Και τα κοιτάγανε αυτά, λένε τι είναι αυτά. Δεν ξέραν τι ήταν τα chopsticks. Και αυτά τα παιδάκια που ήρθαν εδώ πέρα μάθανε πώς να μεταχειριστούν δύο chopsticks. Άλλη κουλτούρα που δεν ξέρουν αυτοί από κινέζικη κουλτούρα.
Ναι.
Όπως πρέπει να μάθουμε και εμείς την κουλτούρα τους ηθαγενείς. Γιατί βασικά είναι οι ρίζες τους από εδώ πέρα και εμείς είμαστε από αυτές τις ρίζες.
Ξέρω ότι ασχολείσαι με τη. Είσαι στη μουσική βιομηχανία,
ναι.
Είσαι γνωστό μέλος στην ευρύτερη κοινότητα. Τους έπαιξε ελληνικά τραγούδια, ελληνική μουσική όταν ήρθαν στο σπίτι.
Όχι, αλλά τους μαγείρεψα ελληνικά και τρελαθήκανε με το φαγητό γιατί δεν είχαν ξαναφάει τέτοιο φαγητό.
Σαν τι δηλαδή?
Ελληνικοί σαλάτες και μουσακά και άλλα διάφορα πράγματα από την ελληνική κουζίνα. Και προπαντός οι δάσκαλοι που ήρθαν με τα παιδιά και αυτοί μείνανε τόσο ενθουσιασμένοι με την κουζίνα, την ελληνική κουζίνα, που πάλι μαθαίνουν για άλλες κουλτούρες. Πρώτη φορά τα παιδάκια φύγανε από αυτό το μέρος, από... είναι 3.000 χιλιόμετρα μακριά. Πρώτη φορά μπήκαν στο αεροπλάνο, πρώτη φορά δοκιμάσαν ελληνικό φαγητό. Ζήσαν άλλη κουλτούρα και αυτά. Όπως ζήσαν και εμείς τις κουλτούρες τους, ζήσαν και αυτά άλλες κουλτούρες.
We heard Theo Kanatas, who is the father of Nick and Zach. Now we will listen their mother, Danielle Kanatas. Our conversation with Mrs. Kanatas was in English.
My parents were both born in Australia. My grandparents came out when they were 18, 19, and they both married here.
Have they ever talked to you about Aboriginals or Indigenous culture or anything in the past, or where are you growing up?
Not so much. For us, it's about learning where we're from as Australian Greeks.
The old country?
Yeah, the old country. So it's a lot about exploring that element of our culture, moreover the Indigenous, for us anyway.
Danielle, I spoke to you to organise this interview with your kids and your husband and you. Theo told me that it was difficult to send the kids so many thousands of kilometres away. Did you sleep during these nights when the boys were not there?
Yeah, great question. For me, when your child looks at you in the eye and explicitly says to you, "Mummy, I want this opportunity," you will move heaven and earth to make it happen for them. Now, it was out of 100 children. There's 100 children in their cohort. And so I had to try and keep their expectations at bay. But I helped them with the application process, like any, you know, involved parent would. We sat the written application. And then from there, they got the interview, which was just such a good experience. It was quite an involved process, actually, because they really had to do their due diligence with respect to how much they know about the community and how much they appreciate the Indigenous heritage. So the questions that they had was really delving into how much they know. And so they both did their due diligence, and then from there they got an interview application or an interview, and we were leaving for our family holiday that very next day. So, you know, it was just some basic interview techniques we went over, anything that you and I would ordinarily do. In the application process, there was this little component at the end and it said, any extra notes. What Nicholas wrote in the additional section was, if we do get the opportunity, we will come back from our holiday early. But in order for him to do that, he looked us in the eye And he said to us, you need to commit to us leaving the trip early. I can't just ride it and expect. We need to make sure that we're going to be there. I looked him in the eye and I said, right, if you get this opportunity, which, you know, it's out of big cohort, we will try and make it happen.
And finally, the younger member of Kanata's family, Amalia, had also a few words to say to us.
Amalia, these kids, these boys came to your home and you ate all together? You have some Greek food?
Yeah.
How did you feel? I mean, it was your first time that you came in contact with Aboriginal kids?
Yeah.
Do you have any discussions, any conversations?
I kind of asked them, like, what it was like the weather and how it was, like, when you... So, like, if you... to not be able to, like, catch their own food...
Thank you very much, everyone. It's a pleasure. Well done. And hopefully in the future, whenever you have a story like that, we'll be here for you to share it with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a conversation with Greek-Australian Kanata's family from Melbourne. 12-year-old twins Nicholas and Zacharias Kanatas shared with SBS Greek their experience of a cultural exchange program of their school, the Trinity Grammar School of Melbourne, and their journey to One Arm Point, an Aboriginal community on the West Australian coast. Thank you for listening. This is Pano Apostolou for SBS Greek.
Θέλετε να ακούσετε περισσότερες ιστορίες σαν και αυτήν? Ακούστε στο Apple Podcast, στο Google Podcast, στο Spotify ή οπουδήποτε ακούτε podcast.